Today is May 31st, 2017, and this is episode number 413 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO, and I think that's the first time I've ever actually had to take a breath partway through that introduction.
Yeah, it's impressive, I suppose, and if by impressive, I mean, huh? And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I'm surprised, shocked, alarmed, and amazed. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at ACM@macobserver.com.
I came up with a new idea for your business cards, Brian.
Yeah.
Instead of having to reprint them every week, often at sizes that are like 2 feet wide.
Yeah.
I'm going to print you up a series of business cards that are actually on whiteboards. And then you can just erase your title and put a new one in.
Yeah, or how about a business scroll?
A business scroll.
Oh, business flashcards.
I like this. And we can do the coding on the business flashcards so that you can still use dry erase markers on them.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of work though.
Like making business card scrolls or business card whiteboards isn't?
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, I know.
Tomato, tomato. All right, so here's the deal. Mm-hmm. Apple Music.
Yes.
Little service thing, little thingy thing that Apple is doing. Did you read Charlotte's piece, by the way? Charlotte wrote a piece for us looking at Apple as a media company, comparing it to the media companies. Like, you know, we think of these companies like Disney or Time Warner as being these huge media companies. Well, Apple's not far behind those guys.
I think Charlotte's right. And I think that Apple is, even though a little bit behind where Netflix and Amazon and, you know, some of these other companies are right now, that's the league that they're moving into. Yeah, media company.
Well, yeah, I don't really know that they're that far behind.
Well, when I say
Amazon,
they have TV show, original TV shows and movies that they've already been producing, and they even have had a movie that was released in the theater.
But how many subscribers do they have? Because, you know, Amazon Prime, this is part of the Prime service, so it's a subset of the overall Prime.
That's true. But if you're a Prime subscriber, you have access to this content. So,
right.
So,
yeah, but in terms of business, I don't know that Apple's, I don't know how far Amazon is going to be ahead of Apple.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yes, I agree with that. And what I was trying to say is that as far as content that's available today, Amazon and Netflix are ahead of Apple.
Yeah, well, in terms of content. In terms of content, yes. In terms of business.
In terms of business, yeah. So, I don't think Apple is that far behind Amazon or Netflix.
Probably
pretty much right in step with them.
Looking at, yeah, probably, yeah, at the very least, they're sort of neck and neck. And you look at Disney. I think Disney, I'm pulling these numbers. As our listeners know, we don't research anything.
No, because research, that's for wimps.
Right.
But I believe that actually aren't lazy like us.
That Disney is something like $15 billion a year, and Time Warner is smaller than that. So, and Apple's media business is basically, you know, somewhere in that $2 to $4 billion a year range. So it's Amazon's probably right about there with Apple's business, because, you know, Apple does have. Still has the largest online download store for music, and right. That does still do business, et cetera. So anyway, the point is this, Apple Music, kind of thing. Apple's been doing pretty well with it. Mm-hmm. Still lags behind Spotify in terms of total subscribers, total paying subscribers.
Yes, but their growth rate is faster overall than Spotify's.
Yes, and plus Spotify doesn't make any money, but so, you know, whatever.
Whatevs.
You know, that's just nitpicking. The one of the things that Apple is going to be doing is bringing Carpool Karaoke as an original sort of spinoff TV show to Apple Music.
Yeah, that starts in August, right?
August 8th. I think I got that right. August 8th. Again, we don't do any research for the show. And Apple's announced the lineup. They announced basically seven pairings, but then there are two other pairings that are also mentioned in the same press release. So I think they've got nine shows, and I actually thought there were 10. I thought this was a 10 show run. And so anyway, we know nine of the pairings that are going to be on the show, because James Corden, the host of the Late Late Show on CBS, is the one who hosts Carpool Karaoke on his show. Mm-hmm. But on the spinoff version, he is going to be hosting two of the episodes, and the other six episodes will have a guest host.
Right. I really like James Corden. Right.
Yeah, he's funny. He's funny.
He's a lot of fun. He's a great guy.
I get a little bit tired. I like his monologue a whole lot, and I enjoy the crap out of Carpool Karaoke. Mm-hmm. I get kind of tired of the couch.
You know, interviews. I'm clearly a horrible, horrible television content consumer because I cut my cable years ago, and I just do online streaming. Mm-hmm. So for the late night talk shows, I never watch them. What I do is watch the stuff from the shows that I'm interested in. So like when Jimmy Fallon does something with a guest where he sings or something,
yes,
I want to see that. When James Corden is doing Carpool Karaoke or you know, some other thing with a guest, I watch that stuff. So the actual interviews, I never see those.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Anyway, we were like deep. I just found the cache of rabbit of carrots.
Oh, I was wondering which rabbit hole we left those in.
Yeah. We were. Yeah. Cache of carrots. So, Carpool Karaoke, and you noted before we started doing the show. Mm-hmm. You noted that everybody is pissy about Carpool Karaoke coming to Apple Music.
Yeah, people are really bagging on it.
Well, but that's the thing. When we say people, we mean the echo chamber. And when we mean the echo chamber in this particular fashion, really we're talking about a bunch of codgers like us who have been covering Apple since the Bondi Blue iMac was a really cool thing.
Oh, good times.
Good
there
times, right?
There is no step three.
Because here's the thing. Carpool Karaoke is a huge hit for the Late Late Show. Mm-hmm. Carpool Karaoke is going to be a huge hit for Apple Music.
I think so, too. When I say Carpool Karaoke is such a popular segment, it could stand as its own show. I say that just to highlight how popular and successful that segment is, knowing full well that's actually what's happened. It's becoming its own show.
It's becoming its own show. And the people who are poo-pooing it, they're on the outs on this. They're outside the bell curve.
See, I think a lot of people that, in this case, are outside the bell curve are wanting Apple to be a different company. And that's okay. I mean, you can want a company to be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that's going to happen.
We will fight. Maybe if we had to, we would possibly die for someone's right to be able to want that.
Mm-hmm. And
I suppose.
You know what? I'm not going to die over someone's right to want to not like Carpool Karaoke. But
how about someone's right to speak their desires?
Absolutely,
because that's probably a slightly more okay.
Yeah, I will go to the mat for that one.
I found some cabbages.
You found some cabbages. They're in a separate Tupperware than the than the carrots. And I just said Tupperware, which means we have a whole new rabbit hole we can go down about product names becoming generic terms.
That's true.
Anyhow, the point is, I think that there's a lot of people that over the years have developed their image of what Apple is supposed to be, the Apple the company. And I think these are some of the same people that freaked out when the company dropped computer from the name. Do you remember when it just became Apple Inc.?
Yes.
And I remember people flipping out.
Yeah, they were worried about that.
Yeah, and I totally get that. I mean, people are very passionate about Apple, and what a great problem for Apple to have. Very passionate customers. But I think part of the problem that goes along with that is that people craft what Apple is in the image that they want, and that's not always in line with what Apple actually has planned.
Well, you know, this is even bigger than that. This is even bigger than that, because Apple makes all of the money. And when you make all of the money, you're going to probably grow. And Apple is working on all these various moonshots, right? We got the diabetic, the glucose monitoring.
Non-invasive technology, glucose monitoring.
Uh-huh. Right, which it's going to be a, if Apple can do that, right? And we still don't
that
know
that Apple will be revolutionary.
It will be intensely important. It will be intensely important, and it's going to probably dwarf things like the Macintosh.
Right.
It's going to be a very, very big thing. You know what? We're going to have a whole new wave of lawsuits to cover as everybody tries to rip off whatever Apple's doing there.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of money involved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then those lawsuits will also include people suing companies because people suing Apple too approval and yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. And people are going to accuse Apple of infringing on patents, which Apple may or may not be doing, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, that's going to be huge. Whatever Apple is doing in the driverless car space, if that comes to market, that's going to be huge. Whatever Apple is doing in the AR space is probably going to be huge, in that AR is going to be huge. It's going to be huge. It's going to be bigger than this core thing. I think there's two core things that most of the people like us, like you and me and our listeners, the thing that we're most interested in are Macintoshes and iPhones. And for some people, maybe it'll be a little more iPhone, maybe throw in the iPad too. And for other people, it's going to be a little more on the Macintosh side. Mm-hmm. And I get that. I totally get that, but Apple is growing past it. This is the fruition. Yeah, but like we spent all those years wishing that Apple could survive, hoping that Apple could beat Windows, could beat Microsoft, do you remember when there was a rivalry between Apple and Creative?
Holy crap. I mean, right? That's old school. Yes.
I mean, like, who? Creative? Who? Right? I mean, that was a big deal back then because, oh my God, they had the Nomad.
Yeah.
Oh. They had the Nomad music player and it had a hard drive in it. Right? And it was, LOL, iPod, because it's so small.
Yeah. But the Nomad thing, it was like USB 1.0.
Yeah, there was a lot going on there that wasn't good. Yeah, and they got their butts kicked by Apple. And do you remember the rivalry between Apple and Rhapsody? Who were the Real Player?
Real Player.
Real Music. Right?
That's right. It was Real Music. The app was Real Player.
I think that's it. It doesn't quite seem right, but let's just go with that. Whatever. There were all these little rivalries and we were always rooting for Apple and go Apple and, you know, kick their butts because you're making this better stuff. And well, it turns out Apple did that, and Apple started making all of the money. Apple has infinity resources. Apple has more money than it could spend. And it just keeps printing money quarter after quarter after quarter. And these moonshots that Apple is doing, like you and I and a lot of our listeners and a lot of our readers get frustrated because because Apple isn't paying the attention we want them to pay to the Mac. We want, you know, we say, you've got all this money, make the Macintosh the best computer on the planet.
And the thing is, we don't know. Maybe they are, and we're about to see it.
Yeah, best computer on the planet gets updated. We've been down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, but the point is, with infinity resources, they have the ability to work on things without us knowing.
Yes, it's true. It's true. I to me, it's very clear that Apple took its eye off the ball on the Mac. Mm-hmm. And the only question is whether or not they've learned their lesson. They've come to us with a contrite message, apologizing, saying, you know, oh my God, we're gonna make a great Mac Pro, rah rah rah. But not this year. But it's maybe coming. We got the iMacs coming too. You know, we got all these things coming. We may have this MacBook Pro update at WWDC a mere 10 months after the last 9 months after the previous MacBook Pro update.
My computer is still under Apple care, and it's likely going to become an old model next week.
Right. Which is a problem we used to have, and we mm-hmm. wanted those days back. Well, maybe that's in the process of happening. And at the same time, though, Apple is doing things that are going to be that make it this different company, and they're going to be bigger, and they're going to be more important, and they're going to be more diversified. And carpool karaoke is just one little aspect of that. Apple Music is just one little aspect of that. Renting your music, just one little aspect of that. Because the whole market, I think Apple's decision to move from iTunes to Apple Music is being proven to be the right move right in front of our very eyes.
This is the first streaming music service that I've been okay paying for.
Yeah, lots of other people were paying for other streaming.
Oh no, I'm aware of that. What I'm saying is, this is the first service that I was willing to pay for, and I tried using pretty much everything. So that's really saying something. Apple created a service that works for me. No one else has been able to do that yet.
And it mostly works for me too, which is nifty. But Apple's changing, and Apple's going to mm-hmm. continue to change, and Apple is going to mean different things to different people, and I think that's hard for some of us to grasp. But back to the original titular point, mm-hmm. carpool karaoke is going to be a huge hit, and if you think Apple's making a mistake about doing carpool karaoke on Apple Music, you are wrong. It's going to be a huge deal, and it's going to bring people to Apple Music. And that means people in the ecosystem. It's going to keep people in the ecosystem. It's going to bring more subscribers to the service. It's going to be a very big deal, and it's going to be the tip of the iceberg.
I agree completely. This is another case of Apple skating to where the puck will be, not where it is. And I will be really surprised if in the next few years I'm not seeing movies in theaters, like big screen theaters, where the movie starts with the Apple logo, just like I went and saw a movie that started with the Amazon logo. And the funny thing is, like, for the life of me, I can't remember the name of the movie. It's a city named...
What are you saying?
The Casey Affleck movie that got all the awards.
Okay.
Anyhow, that was an Amazon movie. And sitting in the theater, the first thing you see on screen is the Amazon logo, which is really weird.
Right.
I expect.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know if Apple's going to do that sort of thing.
I think
guess will be no.
Maybe. I think you're wrong.
It's possible.
I think.
It's certainly possible.
I think that they're going to take what they're doing and build it up big through their streaming services, through Apple Music, and then they'll take it to the next step where they start showing movies in theaters, and then of course you'll be able to stream them first on Apple Music.
The question that strikes at the heart of what we're talking about here is whether or not Apple can grow into this segment without taking its eye off off of its other balls.
Oh, that's the trick right there.
That's what we've seen with the Macintosh over the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, if you want to, you know, if you want to count the Mac Pro debacle. And, you know, the question is whether if Tim recognizes the mistake he made there and has put in place the proper assets to fix that, we're going to be happy Mac users again. And again, a lot of our audience and a lot of the echo chamber that is part of our, that, you know, what we used to call the Mac web is very focused on the Macintosh. And I think we're going to be happy again if Tim has fixed this problem.
Am I being overly optimistic by assuming that this is, or the whole loss of Mac focus is a short-term thing?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I feared that it was. I think that was driving what was driving a lot of our angst, is that we feared that what we were seeing was our future writ small. Mm-hmm. And now I'm hopeful, based on that interview that Phil Schiller did a couple months ago with the five journalists. Mm-hmm. Based on that and based on the idea of new MacBook Pros and or MacBooks at WWDC, my hope is that we've seen the positive change.
That's what I'm hoping for. I think that's what Apple was telegraphing with that special event they did with the five journalists.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. And while a lot of people are bagging on the current Touch Bar MacBook Pro, I think it's a fracking awesome computer. I'm very pleased with mine.
I still haven't used one.
Oh, well, you'll get to at least touch one in a few days, since we'll be hanging out together at WWDC.
That is true. We're going to hang out at your place or my place?
We can hang out at both. Probably not at the same time. My guess is that because of proximity to venues, we'll probably end up spending more time at my place.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking too. That's actually why I asked. What I'm really wondering though is whether or not I need to bother cleaning up my my office.
All you need to do is make sure that the spot of your office that's in camera view is clean. Yeah. That's all that really matters.
Well, yeah, that's on a weekly basis though.
Yeah. So, you know.
Hey, look, some parsnips.
Yeah, we'll put those in more Tupperware.
We're well stocked down here in this rabbit hole.
Well, you know, we don't want our bunnies going hungry.
Right. All right. Anyway, Carpool Karaoke. Can't wait. Love the segment on the Late Late Show. Can't wait to see what Apple's doing. You know, the screenshots that Apple showed when they announced this stuff. Did you see the piece I put up yesterday on this?
Yes, I did.
The screenshots look fun. They look fun.
Well, that's the point of Carpool Karaoke. It's supposed to be fun for everyone.
It's fun. And it's probably a little slapsticky. And I didn't include this image in my piece. But in Apple's news release, there was another image where Shaquille O'Neal, flat earther Shaquille O'Neal.
That is so weird. But yes.
We'll have a link to the show notes on that. Anyway, Shaquille O'Neal and John Cena. Is that right? The wrestler?
Do I have that name right? I know the name John Cena, but I don't know what he does. So he must be in sports.
Big, huge. And that's why I love you. I have his name here again. You know, we don't do research. John Cena, I got it right. Anyway, the wrestler, one of the images that I didn't include is the two of them looking at the, you know, Fiat that they're apparently supposed to drive around in. And they're like, you know, clearly like they're huge. They're huge, giant, monstrously large men. And this Fiat's a tiny car. And so, you know, they're clear, you know, it's obviously a setup, but it's just, I don't know. It looks fun. It looks fun. The screenshot, the still that they showed us looks fun.
It does.
It looks fun. James Corden and Will Smith. That's going to be fun.
Yes.
I could do without the Cyrus family, Billy Ray and Miley and whatnot. I could do without them, but Trevor Noah, you know, Shakira. That could
be very interesting. I mean, Billy Ray seems like an interesting guy, and then you throw in Miley with it, and this is either going to be epically awesome or the most amazing dumpster fire of an episode that you can't help but watch.
That's I guess that's totally possible. Sophie Turner and Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones. That's like going to be fun. Yeah, they're both awesome. They're both awesome. Trevor Noah and Shakira. It's going to be fun.
It is. On a side note, Maisie Williams, did you see her on Doctor Who?
I did. Yeah, she was great.
She was fantastic. I loved her character.
Are you watching the Doctor Who this season?
Oh, yes.
It's a setup question. So yes. It's been good, man.
Yeah.
I like Billy.
Bill.
Sorry. I like Bill.
Yeah. I totally get why you'd say Billy, because Billy Piper was the first companion when they rebooted this series.
Plus I also don't do any research for the show.
Right. But when it comes to the Doctor Who stuff, I'm your crutch.
Yes, absolutely and positively. Peter Capaldi is a fantastic doctor, and I really, really like Bill as the new companion. Is this Peter Capaldi's last season?
This is his last season.
Oh, such a bummer, man. I like him.
I know. There's a lot of people that don't like him at all, but I think he's been a great doctor, and I'm always trepidatious when they introduce a new...
Always.
Yeah, a new doctor, yeah. But then also a new companion. So yes. When they announced Bill, it was the exact same feeling I had when they've announced every other new companion. I was really nervous how this is going to work out. And Bill, I think, is a fantastic companion.
She's been great. And then the two play off of each other so incredibly well.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. I'm really enjoying this season.
Yes, I am enjoying. Yeah, I'm enjoying the season a lot. It has been absolutely fantastic.
I didn't know how I'd feel about Nardal being a regular. Like a secondary companion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's not really a companion though.
Well, yes, he's a companion. He's just not in every episode. The people that hang out in the TARDIS with the Doctor on a regular basis and go with him on his adventures, those are his companions.
No, the companions are human.
Not always.
I've realized, by the way, I am dancing in treacherous waters here.
Companions have not always been human.
Huh. But he's more of a guardian. He's more of a watcher. He's more of a.
I know.
He's more of a like a sheriff almost. Sort of. I know.
Isn't it fascinating to have a companion that is also like a caretaker and enforcer?
Enforcer is a good word. Yeah. Anyway, nonetheless, he's been fantastic. The season has been great. I love Jenna Coleman. I think she's a wonderful actress. Cute as a button.
Yep.
I didn't love Clara, her character, her companion character.
I liked her character, but I thought the chemistry was better with Matt Smith's doctor.
Yes, for sure. And I mean, and honestly, no one can beat Karen Gillan's Amy Pond.
Amy Pond was, but then again, Donna Noble, that to me, that's the ultimate companion out there.
Yeah, never bought into her, man.
Oh,
but I also didn't watch those shows. I didn't watch those shows when they were new. I was late to, of course, I was late to Doctor Who. Yes.
Well, I'm glad you got into Doctor Who.
Do rabbits even eat canned tuna? Because I've just found a big stack of canned tuna.
This little known fact, rabbits will ferret away canned tuna for the apocalypse.
Oh, who knew?
I did. Who I just knew? Told you.
So Oh, yes, you did. James Corden, LeBron James. Going to be another good show. That's one of the two episodes that James Corden is hosting. I mean, these look fun to me, man. I'm looking forward to this stuff.
So am I. And it may turn out that I don't like the series. Doesn't matter. It's really good that Apple's doing this. I think it's a really smart move, and I think it's going to be very successful.
Yeah. All right. So we're way, way over time on this.
That depends on what we really want to say about the rest of our topics.
That's a fair point, too. You also noted before the show that people are bagging on Woz. And we've seen this for years, especially when he's critical of Apple. Like, everybody comes like, oh, who is he? What's he done? He's a has-been. Meh. Listen, I tell you what. Let he who has done more than Woz in his or her life, let he or she who has done more than Woz in his or her life be the first to cast the first stone.
Yeah, this is a guy that is so fracking intelligent that even though he may not be directly involved in the day-to-day activities of any company he chooses to comment on, I feel like he always has something that's at least worth listening to, even if you don't agree with what he says.
Even when he's wrong, his thoughts are backed up by reason. It's like John Keat. John Keat's wrong all the time. I'm always interested in what he has to say. I'm always interested in what he has to say, no matter how wrong he is, no matter what a jerk he's being, because there is an interesting thought process behind it. And I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
With Woz, first of all, Woz is not wrong all the time. Woz is right a lot. And I don't understand the vitriol that comes from our community that is aimed at that man. It doesn't make any sense to me. He should be on the highest pedestal. Without Woz, there is no Apple. Now, without Steve Jobs, there is no Apple. Two. Mm-hmm. But Steve doesn't have anything to sell without Woz being this freaking genius who's doing stuff that he shouldn't be able to do by himself.
So what brought this diatribe on was me lamenting or questioning why people are bagging on Woz, specifically because of, in this case, comments that he made just like in the past couple of days, where he said that Apple is at the point where he feels that the company is too big to be able to innovate in the way that they once did. And he thinks that Tesla is a company that's in a good position to be able to innovate like Apple did when it was a younger and smaller company. And people are flipping their crap out.
Yeah, first of all, he may not be wrong. He may be wrong, but he may not be wrong. And I think he's wrong. I think that we just spent like 20 minutes of the first 30 minute rabbit holing about whether or not Apple took its eye off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that may have happened. But the thing is that in the background, Apple has been working. I mean, like the reason why Macs haven't been the center of attention is because Apple was working on all these moonshots. Now, that, again, may frustrate us, and it may frustrate a lot of our listeners, and it may frustrate a lot of other Apple fans out there. But it's not like Apple stopped innovating. It's just they weren't putting enough attention on the things that we want them to pay attention to. And that's different from not doing anything.
That's true. And it's also very discomforting for people when Apple reinvents itself. They've done this before. So like when Apple got into the portable music player market and...
Yeah, the people were tense about that.
Yep. And then with the iPhone, people were tense about that.
People were tense about it.
And when
Apple started talking about the post-PC world and trucks and cars and stuff,
people got really tense.
Yeah, so Mac fans got tense.
Yeah, they're afraid that Apple's going to kill their computer. Look, mm-hmm. you don't need to worry about Apple killing off the Mac. That's not happening. And when you
because need to, Apple needs Macs to make all the other stuff.
Right. When you need to worry about whether or not the Mac is going to continue is after we get to the point where all of Apple's serious development tools are available only for their tablet devices and they're down to making a laptop.
Right, right. And I mean, the reality is no one's going to be iPads are not a development platform. They're just not, and they're probably never going to be. I think it's going to take the next disruptive technology past tablets to threaten the Mac, and that'll be fine.
Yeah, but the point is, I think Apple is in the process of reinventing themselves again, which I think is something that they need to do. If they stay the same company they've always been, the market will eventually pass them up and they will fade away into insignificance.
Right. So that's not their plan. Right. And Tim, people talk about Tim's lack of vision, and I think they're wrong. I think he's got a different vision than Steve. But I think he's got vision, and part of that vision is what role Apple is going to play in the world. Mm-hmm. We will see if that's true. Back to Woz, I don't think that innovation is a zero sum game between Apple and Tesla by any stretch of the imagination. And they're also in different markets. Well, sure. Apple may possibly be doing something with cars, but even if Apple does stuff with cars, they're still not. I mean, you know, Tesla is a much smaller company, and the things that Elon Musk is doing that are side projects that could be just as big, if not bigger, than all the disruptive stuff Apple is doing. Those aren't actually part of Tesla,
right?
Right, his SpaceX, separate company. The tunnel boring thing, separate company. The mm-hmm. solar, actually, I guess some of the solar stuff is wrapped into Tesla. But I mean, the only competition that Tesla and Apple have is for engineers and possibly designers and other talented Silicon Valley staff. Yeah. That's where they compete, not on product. So, you know, Tesla can do its thing. Apple can do its thing. I don't agree with Woz, but you know, the reality is that Woz is in a better position to see what's going on at Apple and possibly even Tesla than us.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he has inside experience. And he's been. Well,
he knows people. He knows people. He keeps track of what's going on at Apple.
Yeah, and he's a very open and approachable guy, and he will talk to anyone. And it's amazing when you get to talking to him, you feel comfortable telling him anything. He's just such a genuine guy. So
yeah, I saw him speak at the Startup World Cups. Mm-hmm. About what, 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, something like that.
Yep.
And I always like seeing him speak. I'm always interested in what he has to say, whether or not I agree with him. And I do not respect the vitriol that is aimed at him. And again, let he or she who has done more than Woz, who has done half as much as Woz, throw the first stone, cast the first stone. I think it's the actual wording there. Yeah. And I mean. What he did with the Apple II, and what he did with the Apple I, what he did with the Atari games that he made is stunning stuff. So yeah, I don't get the vitriol. I don't respect it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I'm assuming that a lot of this comes from people being uncomfortable with Woz's opinions, because they differ from what they want to hear. And so they dismiss what he's saying with vitriol and by saying he's a has-been, he's out of this space. What does he know?
Yeah, he knows a lot. And Woz is very, very active within Silicon Valley. Woz at any given moment has a jillion things going on. He's involved with he's involved consulting with companies. He's involved. I think he is a board member of a couple of companies right now. Mm-hmm. Woz is plugged into Silicon Valley, and he is intensely interested in technology. He is intensely interested in technology and keeps his finger on the pulse.
Yes, and he. Part of that intense interest comes from wanting to find new ways to make technology genuinely useful in positive ways for people, for to make technology improve our lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm okay listening to what he has to say. And I may not always agree with it, but I think that he's in a position to offer up valid opinions on what's happening in Silicon Valley.
Well, yeah, anybody, obviously, we covered that earlier too. You know, anybody can do an opinion if that's what they want. But his is an opinion I respect even when I disagree.
Yep. There you go. I'm with you.
All righty. So we could segue into one of two topics.
Okay.
You want to pick?
Let's go AI.
Right. So Apple, a little company called Apple. It's one of those innovative things.
Hey, I have to point out with our rabbit holes.
Yep.
We found all of these tuber style vegetables. Mm-hmm. We never found any apples.
Fair point, but we did find cans of tuna.
That's true. Ready for the apocalypse.
Keep looking. Keep looking, man. We might find some cantaloupes too. Might be some apples somewhere down here. Who knows? Who knows? So Apple is the new rumor is that Apple is working on a custom AI dedicated processor that would handle a lot of Siri related tasks, a lot of the AI tasks that an iPhone and or iPad could conceivably even a Mac. Mm-hmm. And that Apple is developing this chip and basically would add it to iPhones so that they didn't have to offload as much to the GPU, which really, I mean, this could be one of those really big things. And if this story is right and Apple can actually do this, can actually make its own processor that's built for doing machine learning and AI processing, this could give Apple a significant leg up in device-centric AI.
I agree. I mean, first, being able to offload these processes that are currently being handled by the CPU and GPU on the iPhone and iPad and put them into a chip that's designed specifically for that. Now you're talking about power saving. You're talking about more efficient processing of that data. And those are two huge things to making AI, artificial intelligence, more useful on mobile devices.
Yeah, and well, especially Apple's approach, because Apple's approach is to do a lot of processing local, keep a lot of data local to your device instead of uploading it to the cloud, which allows Apple to better protect our privacy when it comes to doing AI-related services. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things, because Apple is focused on our privacy and not focused on making us the product, this is one of the things that has sort of held Apple back, I think. And we've argued about that. We've discussed that, I should say, for a good couple of years now. Apple doing its own processor is something that could really shift that momentum and turn Apple's approach into an advantage. Mm-hmm. And that really, really interests me. And again, to repeat what you just said, which I wrote about in my article, the opportunity for power savings alone should not be dismissed as trivial. It is non-trivial in engineering parlance.
Right.
Because Apple controls the hardware and the software. It's designing its own processors. It's designing its own all the components that are going into the almost all the components that are going into the iPhone are being designed by Apple, and Apple can control them at levels that Android OEMs or Windows OEMs can't necessarily control. And that is one reason why we get the battery life that we get out of iPhone. Mm-hmm. And PowerBooks. What do you call those? MacBooks.
MacBooks and MacBook Pros.
Thank you. Those things.
Old.
Nerd. And because Apple can turn off a component for a split second and save power. Apple does this. I've talked to someone who does this. This is a thing that Apple does. And by putting a processor out there, because like GPUs tend to be power intensive. Mm-hmm. And if Apple can turn to this dedicated processor for that's custom built to handle the exact calculations that Apple needs done, it doesn't have to turn to the GPU to do it.
Right.
And which also means the GPU can be used when it's being used, and it doesn't have to have any AI related processing going on. The thing that Apple did with photos, right? Where it the facial recognition thing. No, the fact that you could type in mountains and get all your photographs.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Tree or Susie or whatever. Those things heavily use the GPU. It's why Apple was doing it at night, and it's why if you'd woken up in the middle of the night when you first installed iOS 10, you would have found that your iPhone was warm because Apple was doing a lot of processing. Well, Apple could either do that processing on the GPU and this dedicated chip, or it could just have it being done on the dedicated chip.
Right.
This is important stuff. And Apple, you remember, of course, when the rumors first hit that Apple was working on its own ARM processor for iPhones, there were a lot of people, and I had my own doubts. There were a lot of people who were like, what the hell does Apple think it's doing here? They don't know how to design chips.
Yeah, there were a lot of people that were concerned that Apple was putting the resources in the wrong place by trying to design custom processors.
We worried that it was PowerPC. It was not Power. It was the Power.
No, PowerPC all over again. Because that's when we went to the Intel, or excuse me, the RISC processors, the Apple, IBM, Motorola consortium.
Yeah, well. They weren't called PowerPC, were they? What was the processor called?
Yeah, it was PowerPC.
Was it really? Uh-huh. Seems wrong. Seems totally wrong. Yep, PowerPC processor. Okay, so we were worried that it was PowerPC all over again. We're going to take that out. I don't want anybody to hear what an idiot I am.
Yeah, no problem. I just deleted it.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So we were worried that it was PowerPC all over again, and that Apple was going to, iPhones would end up lagging behind because Apple had this penchant for control, and they, then we're going to be able to do it. And it turns out Apple's really good at making ARM processors. Really good. Apple was the first company to bring 64-bit to the mobile world.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a huge deal.
Yeah, they're so good at this that people have... eventually started speculating that Apple would replace the processors in the Mac with their own ARM chips.
I have no doubt that there is at least a project working on that, whether or not that ever happens.
Of course there is. It's just like when Apple was doing their whole chip switchover thing. When they introduced OS X, they were already running it on Intel.
Right. Of course, started off on Intel.
Yeah. So they're
next to us, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. So anyhow, the point is that it's a safe bet that Apple has OS X running on their own custom processors right now.
Yeah, macOS. Just mostly pedantic.
What did I say?
OS X.
Muscle memory.
Yeah, well, I said I freaked out on PowerPC, so, you know, you're still way ahead of me.
Okay, well, so... Oh,
crap, I mentioned that. You took that out, and then I mentioned it again.
Oh, it's okay. I just took that out, too.
Oh, okay. Man, that's gone. Thanks.
Hey, there's one other thing that I've heard people using to bag on this rumor about Apple doing their own AI chips. Okay. And it's that there are other companies that are already working on the same thing for their phones and other products.
And so what?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. So what? The big difference...
There are other companies making ARM processors. Apple's processors, ARM processors, beat all of them.
Yeah.
Screw that.
Yeah, totally screw that. And then also keep in mind, this fits in perfectly with Apple's whole widget plan. If they're making their own AI chip, they're going to be able to code for it in a way that's probably a lot more efficient than what people are doing with the AI chips that they're using in other devices.
Absolutely. That is so huge. At the operating system level and at the user software level, all of these things Apple could do better than the rush to the bottom crappy OEM world.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to give Apple a significant, it's certainly going to give Apple a significant leg up in device centric AI services. It may actually make device centric AI services be competitive or even better than competitive, especially if you care about privacy, than the cloud only services that are out there.
It's That's at huge. This point, I'm having a hard time accepting better than cloud for capabilities. But
as that could totally change. Ask me again. Protecting your privacy, as good as cloud while protecting your privacy is better than cloud to me.
And it's kind of okay. I can totally see that. Yeah. And you should ask me again in a year how I feel about it, because we will have new information. There will be changes and I may have a totally new or different opinion.
You know, Apple could use this chip in its home, its Alexa competitor. Oh,
dude, did you just read my mind? I was about to say that.
Beach, do it.
Yeah, you totally did. No, I agree. This could be a huge thing in, I guess people are saying Siri speaker.
Yeah, sure. Let's call it that.
Yeah, for now.
Siri home speaker, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think they should use home because Google Home.
But, oh, of course. Of course.
But Siri, yeah, so Siri speaker for now, whatevs. This would be the perfect type of chip to put in that kind of device.
It would. And this is, again, the kind of thing that Apple is doing and no one else can really touch what Apple is doing. Because that Apple's whole widget model makes this a different ballgame for Apple than it makes for anyone else.
Yes.
I hope that this was a Mark Gurman report out of Bloomberg. I hope that he was right. I hope that Apple is doing it. And I hope that that it gets to where Apple wants it and they bring it to market. I hope.
Yeah. I'm excited about this technology.
I am too. Yeah, I am too. I'm super excited about it. I'm super excited about it. Can't wait to see what happens. It's been a rough, we're going on 9 months. It's been a rough 9 months. Apple's released three new products in the last 9 months. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. That's ridiculous. Okay.
I love my Touch Bar MacBook Pro that was released within the last
10 months ago.
Yeah. And I love it. It's an awesome computer. Absolutely love it.
Well,
positive thoughts, Brian.
Positive thoughts. Yes. I am hoping that from here on out, WWDC on out, the 2017 is going to be an awesome year. Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm excited and I'm also really worried because I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to afford this year.
Well, if it helps, I know that I can't. Doesn't really matter what Apple does, but that's
I know this is the plight of being technology journalists.
Yeah, it's hard out there for a publisher.
Yeah,
with apologies to pimps
who are probably making a lot more money than us.
Yeah, that's probably true. All right, interesting stuff though. Can't wait for WWDC. It's gonna be good to see you. It's gonna be great to see what Apple does. Super exciting. Giddy up.
Yep, I'm really looking forward to seeing you and Dave at WWDC.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah, I have a really, really big hug just for you, and it's going to go on just a little bit too long, and it's going to be great for the fanfic.
Yay! Did you see the thing? Speaking of fanfic, Michael, I'm looking at you. Did you see the picture he did?
It was epic. Oh, you know, I don't fave a lot of tweets.
Yeah, I do. But go ahead.
That one I did.
Yeah, we'll include a note to the show links, show notes, but we'll include a link in the show notes. And I was going to say that, I've never been so lovingly burned.
I just thought it was such an awesome, fun tribute to you.
It was. I've never been so lovingly burned.
I didn't even see it as a burn. It was like an honor tribute to you.
Fair enough. And also, while we're mentioning, well, at least I'm mentioning fans, I got the most amazing seal, custom seal that Rick Allen sent to me.
You sent me a photo. And yeah, that is so cool. Rick, that was a really nice thing to do.
Incredibly cool. We have the best listeners.
Yeah, we really do.
We have the best listeners. We have the best people. All the best people. Yeah. Beautiful people.
We also have the best bumpers. You want to hear one?
Yeah, I do. Let me hear it.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Believe me, that was the best bumper you're going to hear today. Our content written by the snarky people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth provided by Cashfly, the bass by Boom, recorded just for Timo. And that's all for this week.
Hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer, the best, the most beautiful website there is. Believe me.
I believe you.